guys. Welcome back to the Midday Mumbles podcast. I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And I'm Brody.
And this is episode 24. I cannot believe we made it this far, but this is episode 24 of the Midday Mumbles podcast. This episode is brought to you by our Patreon, patreon.com/Midday Mumbles. One more time, that's patreon.com/Midday Mumbles. If you go to patreon.com/Midday Mumbles, you can help support the show and help us continue to make this show free every week for you every Monday. patreon.com/Midday Mumbles. What do they got to go to, Isaac?
patreon.com/Midday Mumbles if you want to be cool. I mean, that's only if you want to be cool, though. I mean, it's an option.
Okay, let's get right in the show. So how's everyone doing this week anyway?
Dandy.
You're doing dandy?
Dandy.
Is there anything new for any of you, Brody or Isaac?
So I can't leave my house. What do you think?
Well, today's Easter. For those of you that don't know what day we're recording this, it's Easter Sunday. And it's quite a boring day. A lot of families aren't able to get together on Easter as they usually do because of the coronavirus, which is, you know. But this Good episode, just to be aware, this episode isn't going to be about the coronavirus because we have done 3 episodes in the last month on coronavirus, which is, that's quite a lot.
That's too much.
Yeah.
I've been saying it right along. I've been looking out for you. I've been saying we need to not
The thing with Isaac is he didn't understand that it was getting views, and now it's kind of not getting views. Because everyone is, like, annoyed with hearing shit about it.
I knew it was going to get boring. I was always looking out for the channel, Gage.
I think the big thing as far as people getting bored is they hear the same stuff all the time. You know what I mean? It's literally just governments trying to solve something, and the news is every night is the same thing. Like, I don't think Fox News has ran a story unrelated to COVID-19 in over like a month. That's all it is. It's headlines to whatever. So we're not going to be talking about COVID, which is thank God. Thank the Lord. Today's Easter. And Easter's an epic holiday. Who still who celebrates Easter? Do you guys?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Growing up, you know, it was like, okay, you have a ham or whatever. And that's kind of what it is. You get together with your family. You know, it's a
I mean, we would holiday. Be if there wasn't the whole, you know, corona going on.
Do you guys do ham or do you guys do turkey usually for Easter or something else?
Gage, I would
you don't know?
He's I would love to tell you. Ham sandwich.
probably something like that, Gage, yeah.
A ham sandwich?
No. No, not a one of the two options you provided.
Well, we used to do turkey. We used to do ham every year, and then it was about I think it's quite a few years ago now. We had ham one year for Easter. This was the last year we ever had it because I got really sick and the entire family got sick a week after I got sick. So literally it made it, I don't know. We were all out for like 2 weeks in total and we just haven't really touched ham since. I mean, I know that was probably an anomaly, you know, but it was, I don't know. I think I've kind of lost my love for ham. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's something that I'd go to my grandparents' house, they'd have a ham made and we'd eat the ham. And actually we'd do it twice because one of my grandparents would have ham and then my other grandparents would have ham, so we'd go to both. And I think I just got sick of it, and then I actually got sick.
I mean, well, I find that if you eat something and then immediately get sick after the fact, it's, I mean, even if you know it wasn't what you ate that caused you to be sick, you still don't want to eat it. Just that association is now there.
I remember that day though very clearly because it was like the sickest I've ever been, and by sick I mean like, bro, I was out for like 2 weeks straight, and I thought I was fucking dying. But I remember the day clearly because I was actually I was playing Minecraft on the Xbox 360 with Brody. And I remember he was in one of my worlds doing something, and I remember I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna puke, and it went everywhere. I was like, it came out quickly. I was like, holy fuck, okay.
Did Brody comment on it? Can you distinctly remember what Brody said?
I don't remember because I don't want to say anything.
I need to know this from all sides.
He can't believe I remember that, but I had my headset on and I remember taking it off quickly and I said, I'll be back. And like, I was about 45 minutes. I was about 45 minutes because I was in the bathroom and I puked everywhere. Like, I didn't make it. I got to the bathroom door and it went everywhere. It was like projectiled everywhere. And it was the grossest thing in the world. And I was about 45 minutes continuing to puke into a bucket. I'm sorry, guys, if this is making you sick.
No. Listening. It's good.
But I remember that. And oh my God, I was so sick. And I actually remember what was on TV. There was some show about creating like an RV or something. It was like one of those custom RV shows or whatever, like bands hired this company to design RVs for them. And they did. So I remember watching that for like a week because I was into that show for that week while I was sick.
You were sick and you just watched RV show nonstop. Yeah, I don't,
well, yeah.
I don't know how you can handle that. I don't know. But I feel like that would make you more sick in its own sense, you know? Not a physical sick, but
I think we were on school vacation for a week of my sickness because I think we had our April vacation or something. But it was terrible. It really was. And I was so sick that I wouldn't wish that on anybody because it was honestly like you feel miserable. You know when you're like really sick that you feel so miserable about everything?
That's just kind of general. That's most sicknesses. You're not really
because there's a couple different kinds of sicknesses. Like there are the sicknesses where you're completely out of it. And then there are those like sicknesses where, oh, I have a cold.
Oh,
I have
sure,
a sore throat.
Sure.
And you know what I mean? It's like, you can still operate.
You're talking about a real sickness, not like an annoyance.
Yeah. I'm talking about those sicknesses where you really can't do a thing. It's like, you're literally, it's not possible. I mean,
the worst I've probably ever felt in my life was food poisoning. I got food poisoning, and that was miserable.
Yeah,
that was food poisoning. Sucks.
There's this one time, don't really remember the entire thing, but they had the Madison has these the Madison Anson days every year, mm-hmm. And there was this. I'm not going to say the pizza joint because I don't want to give them a bad rap because. Well, it's not a business anymore, but and in fact, the person
that
who owned
really
it,
matter,
the person
I guess.
Who owned it died. But anyway, it was a pizza place, and they catered this place, or they didn't cater it, but they had a booth, and they were bringing a pizza. And my mom, I've never had chicken pizza before, but she's like, she had this slice of chicken pizza, and she got food poisoning bad, and she was sick for about a week. And I remember that because it was terrible, like. Freaking I thought she was freaking dying. I think my dad did too because she was like out of it.
Food poisoning's like a night thing. It's not a week long thing.
No, it was a long time. It was she thinks it was like poultry because it had chicken on it and the chicken I think was undercooked. And
it was
salmonella poisoning.
Oh, okay. It wasn't exactly regular food poisoning. It was
no. It was like worse. So I don't know if she still says this, but she claimed up until a while ago that was the worst sickness she's ever had. But I can count on my fingers how many times I've had a really bad sickness, and it's not more than five. It's only been a few times in my life. I have a pretty good immune system. Very rarely do I get sick where like I can't operate. And then you get into those like, oh, I'm sick, I can't go to school, but really you're fine. You're just, you know, I know Isaac's never experienced those days in his life, but Isaac's a goody two shoes, aren't you, Isaac?
Hmm?
You're a goody two shoes.
is that
debatable?
I mean, I just don't try to do things that upset people or bother people. Does that make me a goody two shoes?
I don't know. I'm saying, like, you've never been sick just to get out of something at school?
No.
You've okay. Well, I bet you 99% of other kids have.
I mean, I have missed school before because I was like really behind in homework or whatever, and I just wanted to take a day to get caught up, or you know, however, whatever. But
I remember doing that. Like, I wouldn't
pretend to be sick.
Well, I remember there's only been a few occasions where I've been really swamped with schoolwork, and I decided, oh, it's a smart idea to take a day off to catch up. And then you have those, like, I mean, obviously you could, if we were in court right now, you could be like, and my next exhibit is Gage's record of senior year in high school.
Oh, sure. That was the, you missed like at least every other day.
Well, that was actually the plan. It was I needed to be there for green days for gym so I could actually graduate, and I took white days off unless I had a extremely huge test that weighted something huge.
Took them off.
Well, I didn't really take them off because I was working at that time. I still work for the same job, but I was my first kind of full time year freelancing. It was technically part time, but I was working a lot of hours, and I told myself, I said, look, I mean, white days aren't that important. It's senior year anyway. If I had senior privileges, I could leave anyway because my study hall schedule was set up in a certain way. And I just decided that I would take days off, and no one had a problem with that. I mean, my parents were a little iffy at first because it was like, well, you know, and then towards the end of the year, I was passing everything, and I graduated, obviously, as I'm here now. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people though were getting mad at me especially Isaac. I'd get a bad rap, and Isaac would always get mad. We had this this physics class. We've talked about it on the podcast before, and it was always funny because we never got anything done in that class, and Isaac likes to blame it on me. But
it was your fault.
The teacher didn't want to teach when I was there anyway.
Sure, but if you were there more regularly, he would have been like, you know, forced into it.
Well,
he wouldn't have an excuse.
But I don't know. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I never really took physics to learn something in that class. Like, I took physics because it was going to be an easy grade.
I don't think like, most people take physics for an easy grade, Gage.
Well, okay, think of it like this. Dylan and Isaac are in the class, two of my good friends. And then at the Ethan Mudgett was in the class.
What
he was
grade
also
did you get in
time.
That class since you were there never?
I got a C.
So you didn't even achieve your goal.
What was my goal? I graduated.
An easy
I passed
grade.
The class.
An easy good grade.
A C. That's a good grade to me.
No, it's
a C's
not.
C's fine. Yeah, it is. C is fine.
No, that's like disappointment. That's like shame.
No. C is a good grade.
No.
Yes.
Brody,
I'm proud to get
Brody,
a C.
Talk some sense into Gage here.
Oh, it's subjective.
What's the point of getting an A or trying to get an A? Because you're going to pass it.
So
if
you can
get a C, you're going to pass it anyway. Like, is it? I'm sorry, but I don't get a hard on if I get an A. It's like, I don't get excited for that.
No,
that
I don't either. I just get disappointed if I don't. I feel
I don't
ashamed of myself.
Throughout
if I
my
don't.
Entire career, getting like, an F on a. I'm not a test taker, so I'm so used to getting Fs on quizzes. So if I got a C or even just a 70, I'd be so excited inside. I'd be like, holy shit, I did it, guys. I did it. And I don't know. I'm not a book smart guy. Like, I can't read a textbook and be able
sure,
to tell you everything I read.
From my experience with you, Gage, you also just don't put in the effort.
Well, I don't think that there's effort to be put into. I don't think it's useful. Because a lot of classes there, a lot of shit's filler.
So,
like,
yeah, you see, so it's
I
not
did what
that,
I had to do to get through my classes.
It's not that you don't have the capacity for it.
No,
it's
no.
not that you're just not book smart. It's that you didn't want to because you didn't see a reason to.
Well, so I'm really not book smart because I have applied myself in some classes, and you know, I've learned that it doesn't matter. I mean, if I'm going to do well in a class, there's going to be a different way of looking at it. Like, I suck at math. I hate math. I've never been good at it. But then it was sophomore year, and the teacher that I had got fired. And then this young guy came in. His name was Tucker. And you know what? I passed his class with flying colors because he taught me math in a totally different capacity than any other teacher has in my entire school career. And this guy, I was getting about a B plus, an A-ish. It might have been an A minus in his class. And that was the best I'd ever gotten in a math class because I was so used to failing math and then passing with like a 70 at the end of the year. Like that was a good grade for me in math class because I suck at it. Mm-hmm. And he was could you imagine Isaac going through your entire school career, getting, passing math. And then this teacher comes along and you're doing so well in it because you're actually understanding the information.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't understand that because I haven't been there, you know. But I hear what you're saying, though.
The school let this teacher go, which pissed me off. I mean, he went to a different school, but.
No, it was just him moving on. I mean, technically, he wasn't supposed to be teaching when he was, but that's.
The school could have kept him, though, and they didn't be. I don't know. You know what? When I have a teacher that I really do well with.
I don't think it was the school, though.
And then another example of this was a science class that I had. Like, I've always done well in science, except for I didn't do well in I actually did really well in chemistry, believe it or not, which is surprising because chemistry is really heavily with math. But I had a good partner that year. One of my really good friends who
so
moved
you
to New
didn't
York.
Do well.
No, I did do well, actually. I did really well. He was my partner for one quarter of the year. And then I switched to other people. I did well because I'm really good at hands-on stuff. So, like, mixing chemicals, Bunsen burner, all that. I'm really good at that. In taking notes, being like, okay, we got to look at the data. And I love hands-on shit. Then I didn't
really
do so well.
Gage, really? Then in physics when we were building the trebuchet...
I wasn't interested in that. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, why weren't you hands-on with that, huh?
I thought that was so dumb.
Why was I exclusively the one working on that?
Because I thought that was so fucking dumb.
A class project that I exclusively built myself.
I thought that was so dumb. But then biology, I went into biology, and I had such a great teacher. Oh my God, this guy was so great. And then he fucking died on everyone. This... Mr. Gordon fucking died.
You can't just say it. You can't just like put it like that.
He died.
How dare he?
And then this new teacher, no offense. He was a great teacher. I remember actually the night before he passed away, I was in his class and I was going to talk to him about something, but I'm like, I'm going to be late for class. So I was going to thank him because I was doing really well that quarter and he had helped me out. And next morning he came in and he didn't come in. The Mr. Richards came in and he's like, he died, and I'm like, well,
I'm sure you didn't say it like that.
No, but I knew there was bad news, and I couldn't believe it. But I remember the entire school was, like, shut down for, like, 2 days. If not, it was about a week, actually. Nothing got done at that school for about a week. And then,
well, it depends on the
Mr.
class.
Thompson,
I remember it happening, and I never had them in any classes, so I was, you know, it didn't
my
really
classes
change for me.
Were all shut, like literally nothing happened in any of them because everyone was like, "Oh, you know." I think a lot of kids use that for
an excuse to do nothing.
It kind of sucked, yeah, because the school allowed anyone to go home for that entire week if they wanted to,
yeah,
and a lot of kids abused it, and it kind of sucked because it's like. You know, and I was there that entire week because I didn't feel it was, I didn't know the guy that well. It's like, he taught a class. I didn't know him personally. You know, I'm not going to cry. Like, I was like, okay, it's sad that he died. I mean, it's sad when anyone dies. I didn't know him that well.
Gage is like, whatever, get over it.
It also sucked, though, because then Mr. Thompson came in and my grade just plummeted because he went to literally, he's not a science teacher. And literally it was over. The great grade was over.
What do you mean he's not a science teacher?
No, he's not a math teacher because I had geometry.
Oh, okay.
I had geometry with Gordon, too.
He's a science teacher. I think yeah, more specifically, he's very biology teacher focused, right?
Yeah, well, I had geometry. I had two classes with Gordon. One was geometry and one was biology. And those two classes I was doing so great in. And then Thompson took over. And both grades plummeted because Thompson literally threw everything that we were doing out of the window. And he was doing these long presentations every class. And then there'd be a test the next day. So there was like a test every day. And I suck at test taking. And I almost failed the class. I spent a lot of overtime in that class taking tests. And I'm not going to admit it on podcast what I did to pass that class. But I...
I think by saying that, we all already know it's too late.
What did I do?
Cheated.
I didn't... Kind of.
You already admitted it. Okay, I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it on podcast.
That was 3 years ago. That was like two and a half years ago. What are they gonna do? Fucking, you know, whatever.
I'm just saying you should make it less obvious if you're trying to make it not obvious.
I would cut that.
Nah, I don't care. I really don't care. I mean, you know what? They don't want me back at that school. Trust me. Well, trust me. They hated me.
It's not like you can.
They hated me
you
at that
school. You just
illegitimized
your education.
They
to
hated
anybody
me at that
who listens to this.
Listen, everyone at some point has cheated on something.
And look, everyone probably already knew.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want me there anyway. Trust me. Like, Richards hated me. No,
probably
he didn't hate me.
Because you didn't show up to school.
No. Richards and I got along because we are both, like, hard asses in the sense where I don't take his bullshit. He doesn't take my bullshit. Yeah, we got along in a lot of conversations. He kissed my ass quite a few times. But at the same time, he didn't like me there because I always was the one that didn't let things go. If I was wronged by something, I'm the guy who's always bitching at him until he gets it done. Like, there was a story freshman year, I was on the golf team. What had happened is the coach didn't like me, okay? And I'm not going to say his name, but he apparently lied to the owners of the golf course, Phil Mattingly, which is actually a friend of my dad's, mm-hmm. who owns the golf course, and lied and said that I vandalized the facilities. And he did some divots into the grass. Well, what happened was I almost got expelled for this thing that I didn't do. And my parents were called into the office and we were all having a conversation. And my parents after that were like, okay, we're taking a trip up to the golf course after they went down and got my brother at his school. Mm-hmm. And I was riding up to that course and literally I thought I did something terrible. Like, I thought I murdered someone. They wouldn't talk to me. Like, seriously, they were extremely strict at one point. And we got up there and I thought I was going to be in jail for the rest of my life. Like, seriously, until I turned 18, I thought I was not going to have any contact with the world. And we got up there and the owners are like, what the hell are you talking about? Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Well, I got banned. You want to know why the coach made this up? Because I was set to play in a game, my first game of the season, that following weekend. And this was a huge game for the team. Mm-hmm. Well, I was playing pretty horribly that week in practice, and they thought I was going to jeopardize points. So they made this up, and they kicked me off the team. And the guy who the coach got in some trouble, and he's been fired since. But we got back to the school, and my parents were like, okay, owe him an apology. And I said, nope, I want an apology in front of the entire school at the next assembly. I want Dean to come up in front of everyone, and publicly.
Why do you feel like you have to do that to people?
Yeah, I said, I want you to publicly apologize to me in front of everyone and clear my name. And you know what? He didn't want to do it. He did do it in the end, though. He went up in front of everyone and said, I am sorry for what I did, blah, 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 blah. And he said my name, clearing me, exonerating me from everything. And I made sure that happened because originally he was going to say sorry in private. And I didn't want that. I wanted him to say it in front of everyone to show people what a lying piece of shit that guy was.
Right, but that's...
it happened.
Gage, that's, no. That's not... I don't think that's right to do that.
I mean,
sure, him lying to get you kicked off the team so that they can score better, that's really scummy and wrong. But forcing him to publicly shame himself is also equally wrong.
He ruined my golf career at that school.
Sure,
because everyone I graduate.
Okay, here's
people even asking about that.
You think that the golf team is the biggest deal at Carabic, but it's not. There's typically like three people on it, and no one pays attention or cares about it. So
my name at
no
the golf course is important.
That
though.
Your name
my name at the
to
golf
be
course
cleared from it. No one would even know about it.
My name needed to be cleared at the golf course as well because that's the main place I play, and in fact. He was trying to get me banned from the course, which
sure,
wouldn't have ever happened because whatever. But I don't let things go usually unless I know it's right to. But in this case, I mean, you mess with the bull, you get the horn.
Okay,
and,
here's the thing. I don't think you should just let something go if you were wronged and for no reason. But I don't think you should force someone to publicly shame themselves. I mean, people should have a chance at redemption, not just ruining themselves, you know?
I don't really understand what you're saying, because if someone did that to you, I would hope that you'd try and get your name completely exonerated from everything.
Only
if
that was
it.
Necessary.
But it was necessary in this case.
Right, but as I said, no one at the school knows or even cares about the golf team.
Yes, they did it,
so
because everyone knew about it. Everyone was talking about it. And in fact, people looked at me pretty weird. Actually, my entire team stared at me as I was driving into the course before my parents knew that it was made up. Because here I was sitting in the car thinking, did I do something wrong? Like, I don't know what I did wrong because I hadn't played on a golf team since the sixth grade and I was a freshman in high school. So obviously I didn't want to screw this up, and I didn't want to screw up because I'd only been in school in high school for 3 months, and I didn't want to screw my name up and be like, try and challenge the principal because I wanted to feel this guy out. Mr. Richards was a vice principal at this time. And there was a harder principal at the time who was she was doctor. I don't remember what her name was, but
Campbell.
And
right. Wasn't that? Yeah.
And if the coach would have gone to Dr. Campbell, I would have been expelled. And I don't know what the whole plan was, but it didn't go the way they wanted it to. I know that. And thank God. But no, I mean, I guess the moral of this is don't screw with Gage.
No.
He will end
my
you.
Gosh.
I will end you if you
maybe
if you screw with
maybe
me.
The moral of this should be don't be a lying, you know, piece of human landfill, not
this guy screwed with me and he got a little bit of public shame. Who the fuck cares? And he got fired for a totally different thing. Like 3 years later, by the way, and he kissed my ass forever. And the next season, it was funny because him and his wife camped at the same campground that my parents had a camper, and they came right. Him and his wife came right over, and he's like, "Are you not playing golf this year?" And that was I said, "Fuck it, I don't want to be a part of this team anymore." And his wife didn't know anything about any of it, and my parents were like, yeah, well, he didn't want to put up with this shit again. And his wife gave him shit right in front of us because apparently she didn't know. And it felt pretty nice, I'll tell you what. But yeah.
Okay,
but that's the only sport
that
I play.
That's enough of Gage's revenge complex.
But that's the only sport that I play really in high school. Like, I'm not really a sports guy in the sense where I don't play on a basketball team or a football team. I mean, I had the option to play on a football team actually, but I just, you know, I don't know. I'm just not a sports guy. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. I mean, I just don't, I'm not into that stuff. I don't get competitive in the sense where.
Oh no, me neither. I'm not a sports kind of person. I remember I used to play soccer.
I used to play soccer years ago for quite a few seasons actually. And I was playing on a team with Cole and all that. And every time I fuck something up, they took it so seriously. And it's like, bro, listen, I don't care enough to give a shit. I am going to kick the ball and do my best. And if you have a problem with that, then I don't give a shit. Because we're not playing for $1 million here. We're playing for some fucking trophy I'm never going to see. We're playing for a participation trophy. So lay off for a minute. And then I actually had a bad injury the last season I played. And I remember that game because I rolled my ankle. And I went over to my parents in between the game when I was out. And they looked at it and my ankle was swelling up. And my mom's like, ah, you're a big boy. Get out there and play. And I couldn't walk by the end of it. And then turned out I literally broke one of the plates in my ankle. And I haven't been able to walk clearly since. Like, it kind of sucks, but hey, whatever. I think we had to transition the topic.
Yeah.
From Gage's revenge stories to
something else. So, you know, Isaac, you know what's disappointing?
What?
I'm out of tea. You know?
You're out of tea?
Mugs, they don't sell them big enough. You know? Who just wants to drink like a regular mug size of tea? No, I want like a gallon mug, you know?
Maybe not that
extreme. But I feel like there's a lot of process that goes into making tea for a small mug of it that you drink through in like a couple minutes, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're talking about hot tea.
I mean the good kind of tea.
Okay, you need to tell me, how is hot tea the good kind of tea?
I don't know. It just...
Granted, all tea was hot at some point.
Uh-huh.
But you claim... Like, I've never been able to drink hot tea.
All tea was hot at one point? What?
Okay, you have iced tea, for instance.
There are some teas that are just straight up brewed cold, though, right? And then there's instant tea, which is disgusting. And probably was never brewed. Well,
my favorite tea of all time is Arizona... Diet blueberry iced tea.
That's not tea.
That is tea.
Oh my gosh.
That is tea.
He likes tea, but then he says some sort of product. What?
Listen, I love this tea.
You're talking about bottled tea?
It's in an Arizona container.
You're talking about cheap canned tea.
That's not real tea.
It's not canned tea. The next podcast, I'm going to bring some in for Brody because he needs to try it.
Here's the thing. Here, let me get Merriam-Webster definition of tea, okay? Okay?
Well, you see, the thing about tea for me is I am not really a fan of hot tea.
I'm not going with Merriam-Webster. I don't like that.
But I also don't like tea that has a lot of sugar in it, because that's a thing. You go to a store and you want iced tea or something, and there's just so much that has a lot of sugar in it, and I don't like sugary tea. So this Diet Blueberry Iced Tea has 10 calories, literally no sugar in it at all, and it's really good. I've been drinking it since I was really young. They finally started getting it into Hannaford in Madison, and I've started getting it a lot lately. But that's my favorite tea, I think.
Okay. Gage, I'm going to need you... I sent you a message. I'm going to need you to read that message.
The young dried leaves of this plant, prepared by various processes and used to make a beverage, usually served hot.
Right.
Not always.
Meaning that's where it belongs.
But it's saying usually, not always.
Okay. Sweet or cold teas are always too sweet. They don't taste like tea because they're so sweet and they have other flavors jammed into them. I want hot water, and I put the tea bag in it, or you can make it in other ways. I go with tea bags. And then you let that soak for a couple minutes, you pull it out, and you put a little bit of honey. Not much. You just take the spoon that you're going to stir it in with, and you like put a little bit in there, and you stir it in. That's the perfect tea. Right there. Because you get the flavor of the tea. You get... that's just the way to do it. I don't know how to explain the flavor.
You guys are totally missing specific aspects. Well,
I agree with Isaac on the sense where I love... I never think I can get enough of the taste of
different teas. Like,
I've been, I go to the office in the morning, I've been getting, we have these Yeti cups around the house, and I've been putting ice in it and then filling up with my blueberry tea, and I'll bring it to the office. But I don't want to have to keep going back and forth. So I think I really want to have a giant jug just for tea. I want that.
What are we missing, Brody? You said we're missing something. What are we missing?
Temperature.
I mean, I think the prime temperature for tea is like right below searing. Like, to the point where you can keep it in your mouth and not have it like burn the inside of your mouth, right below that.
No, would it help brewing. If I told you, would it what? Help that I, if I told you that
brewing
my
temperature.
Brewing temperature. Oh,
if you
I don't really
brew
think
teas
about that.
At the right temperature, you don't get the right flavor.
You want to know what I do, Brody? I take my mug, I fill it with water, I put it in the microwave for 2 minutes. I take it out and I slap the tea bag in it.
Amateur.
That's the tea that I drink, and it's blueberry green tea, by the way.
Ah, green tea's worse too.
No, green tea is the best, actually.
So there's three different types of teas, okay? There's black tea. There's slightly wrong tea, which is green tea. And then there's not tea at all, which is herbal tea. And that's just the way I see it.
Really?
Black tea wrong. Tastes the best. Hands down.
No.
You know?
No. I disagree.
That fermentation just does something to it. That's just...
Gage is like, I disagree. It needs blueberry flavoring and sugar.
Yeah, you're practically okay, drinking herbal tea with that.
It doesn't have any sugar in it.
What I find upsetting is if someone offers you tea and you're like, sure, I like tea. I'm a tea guy. And then they bring out like herbal teas. That's like strawberry whatever, or like just some random fruity or herbal tea that has no tea leaves in it. I feel like it should not be classified as a tea if it does not contain tea leaves. It should be considered herbal beverage or
what do you guys
fruity
what's your
beverage.
Opinion on, what's your opinion on an Arnold Palmer?
Too much sugar.
Well, other than too much sugar, like, it's a really good drink.
Okay. Too much high fructose corn syrup?
on a nice hot summer day, you're outside working. I think an Arnold Palmer is a really nice thing.
Are you talking about this guy right here?
Yeah, he's a golfer, but it's it's half lemonade, half tea.
I'm trying to even figure out what you're talking about.
Google an Arnold Palmer.
That's what I'm doing. I got the guy.
It's a tea. Type in beverage after.
Arnold Palmer tea. Oh, it's just...
It's a drink. It's a mix.
Yeah, I've had that. It's all right. I wouldn't call that tea, though, really.
Well, no, it's got a lot of sugar in it, but...
Right, it's... I mean, sure, it's technically... tea, but it doesn't taste like tea.
Are you the kind of guy that likes just flat out black tea that has like this really terrible flavor? Like, there's nothing other than the taste of tea. There's nothing
extra. I
want
tea and a little bit of honey.
Okay, that doesn't sound
too
bad.
But I don't want it to be sweet. I just want it to be not
very,
very, very bitter.
You have something against any sort of sweet tea.
I hate sweet tea.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Like, the half lemonade teas, those are good. Like, but they're not a tea to me. They don't taste like tea. They're not... My brain isn't in tea mode when I'm drinking those.
So you're saying the Arizona iced tea...
Yeah, those are good, but they're not...
Okay, yes. Lemon tea is what you're saying.
I wouldn't consider that really tea in my mind.
I do. I think it's tea. Why wouldn't it be tea? It's made from tea.
It doesn't taste like tea. It doesn't.
Well, it doesn't have to. You could take anything and change the flavor.
That, in my mind, is the same amount of tea level as herbal tea.
As herbal tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, in my mind, is not tea.
I don't know. I like it. I think Arizona does a really good job.
True. I'm not a fan. They taste good.
I'm not a fan of boiling water on the stove and having hot tea. I just don't like hot tea. I've never really had a good hot tea though, but I have had hot tea, and I just don't think I like something that has flavor.
Wait, like, what you sent this diagram, Brody? What is all this?
Like the temperatures.
If you don't brew teas at the right temperature, you can frig up the taste.
Herbal.
So green tea is at 176 Fahrenheit.
It's what temperature you're supposed to steep them at and how long you're steeping for.
What is a white tea? What is a white and yellow tea? I've never even heard of those.
Yeah, I've never heard of yellow
They're
or white
tea. They're
made out
of specific leaves.
Is yellow like lemon?
No.
Okay. That's a valid question. That's a valid question.
Right, but I'm...
Maybe it has some sort of yellow or like lemon properties to it. Lemony acid properties. You know?
No, it refers to tea brewed with specific leaves.
I'm not a tea expert. I'm just saying, you know?
Sure, I'm gonna both send my tea choices in chat, and then I'll say them too.
I like I don't know. I think I've always been a fan of iced tea. It's really good. I don't know. I guess you could consider me not a real tea drinker because you know I'm not a. It's gonna be hot. It's gonna be 176 Fahrenheit. Oh my god! But I love how we're posting pictures of Arnold Palmer in the interesting chat on the podcast server.
We should probably go through and clean those out later. That was our that's our attempt at giving some structure to this. So we
every week it's like we don't have anything to say. We just pull everything out of our ass.
Here's number.
The Walmart link.
That's a Walmart link. I want the photo off of this.
We are not sponsored by Walmart.
No. Okay.
Walmart,
okay.
If you're listening to this, please give us a sponsorship.
Why is it not pasting this? I want this image.
$5 million an episode, Walmart. Okay.
That's what 21. You want from them? Or is that what you're offering them?
I'm offering them 10 episodes for $5 million. That's fair. You're telling me if they offered that, you guys wouldn't take that? If they offered that, I would take that. I'd be like, hell yeah.
If they offered it, I would take it. But here's the thing. They wouldn't.
I know. I love just pulling numbers out of the sky and be like, yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. Those, the other image is still sending. But those two,
yes.
Those two T's, Earl Twins. Grey, and I don't know how to correctly pronounce this, Celian Orange Pico, I think is how you pronounce it. Those teas are fantastic.
Earl Grey,
Orange Celian Pico, and I guess sometimes an English breakfast is all right, but that's like...
It's Celian like Orange Pico.
Yeah. Celian Orange Pico. Those, which by the way, that does not have orange in it, because that would be an herbal tea and that is gross. Does not have oranges in it. It's just the name.
What's your beef against herbal tea?
They're gross. They're not good. They're not tea.
Never had it before.
Any herbal tea is not a real tea because they do not contain tea leaves in them.
Okay, fair enough.
Just soak them in hot water.
Fair enough. Nice.
But those two teas are where it's at.
Okay. I feel like we've had a lot of tea talk this episode.
We've had a lot of it. I think it's good though. Send us an email of your favorite tea and if you disagree with my stance, and I will don't.
So Isaac sent me a video this week, a video that I actually missed. A guy on YouTube called Tom Scott. He makes these very interesting, informative videos. of a lot of things, a lot of different topics, mind you, a wide variety of different topics. And one of the videos that he made recently is of YouTube's copyright system and even the world's copyright system, copywriting and trademarking items, intellectual property, and all that. So Isaac sent me this, and I gave it a watch. Now, mind you, this video is 42 minutes long. So I watched the entire video, like, right then and there, because it's, I was very interested. I got into it. It is very interesting. I know a lot about copyright law, but it also, there are some things about other countries' copyright laws that were very interesting in that video. Mainly the United States' copyright laws. And especially one thing that I find very annoying is when you have, okay, so recently Disney movies from the 1920s and 1930s have been becoming public, fair use. They're in the public's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Domain.
The public domain. Yes. Thank you, Isaac. And, you're allowed to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom brought up a great point, and he was talking about Shakespeare and all that, and how someone, if copyright laws weren't in place, the family could have claimed it, copyrighted it again, or, and then kept copyrighting it.
He was saying that the current copyright laws, being as long as they are, it would be like having the far ancestors of Shakespeare still owning the rights to his play, like, to his plays and stuff, and no one being able to use them for anything.
Yeah.
And that really just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So one of the examples that he was talking about, and it was like, music, especially music is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very touchy subject, because you know, you have license when you make a movie or you have any sort of commercial product, whether it be a TV commercial or a film or a documentary, and you use music, if it's not royalty free, you have to get licensing from the artist or the distributor. And one of the examples that he was using is of this, I don't remember what it was, but there was someone who went to the band and said, I would like to license the music. They got the music cleared. And then they got in trouble by the distributor who owns the rights to the music, the copyright. And it brought up a great question about fair use and copyright, because recently we spoke about this on the podcast a while ago. YouTube's YouTube's copyright system. Right. And how you can flag any video for owning anything. And a lot of companies abuse it. There's just one example of this guy who uploaded a Minecraft video to YouTube, and there was the music, the theme song, and he copyrighted claimed every Minecraft video on the platform that day. And he made out like a bandit. Obviously he got caught and he's facing legal issues. Right. But that was pretty scary with the YouTube copyright system. Now, he wasn't just talking about the YouTube copyright system. He was talking about the laws actually in place for copyright.
Well, and a lot of his point was that YouTube's current in-place copyright system is actually really good, because it works with the laws. It works very closely with the laws to make it as free as possible. They're not limiting people per se with it. They're just working with what they can work with, and they're doing as good of a job as they really can. And he was saying that they are actually doing a good job with it.
Well,
that have a problem with the copyright system shouldn't be mad at YouTube, but should be mad at the current laws that are in place, and that they need to be reformed to be more fitting to modern society.
Yes. So I was I have been making these reaction Reddit videos on my YouTube channel for quite some time now. And I remember the first video I made, I got a message from some of my YouTuber friends saying, be careful with that because of copyright law. People that own the content can potentially take you down if it's not considered fair use. Now, it's kind of a very weird line because I am very critical of the videos that I react to on my Reddit series, making a comment afterwards. But there are some cases of me using entire clips to make the video longer, which technically isn't against because it technically could be considered fair use. But the big thing is, obviously, I don't want to have to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars into lawyers for a video that got 300 views. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. So
then don't fight the cease and desist is kind of that portion of it.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I started doing this thing on Mondays where I would react to this Reddit r/memes page. And I have been doing pretty well on those videos. They've been getting decent views. Well, this one guy commented on one of the videos and said that he owned a meme in the video and he wanted to contact me to come out with some sort of agreement or he would copyright strike the video. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't ignore this guy because, I mean, you have someone that claiming to own a meme. It's kind of like, you know, I don't want to do something wrong.
Just trying to rip you off, right?
I contacted some of my YouTuber friends and I asked them about it. And they assured me that there's really not much to do. But he DM'd me on Twitter anyway. We had a conversation for a while because I just wanted to make sure that I had proof of me, you know, having a contact with this guy, and I screenshotted everything. He was a troll anyway in the end, and he completely blew off the end of the conversation. I just ignored. I blocked him on Twitter after, and nothing's happened. But then I brought up a great point, and it's like, well, if it was legal to copyright strike a meme, wouldn't PewDiePie's channel be gone? Like, he's been doing meme review videos for what? Like,
well,
2 years
but
now?
He's technically not in the right with those. Technically, he is breaking copyright law. And he could
Well,
be
he lives
struck.
In the UK, so especially with the new laws. But in the US, it's technically fair use because as long as you talk about the content that's on screen, like, technically, you could play a movie in its entirety, but pause and talk about critical parts of it, right? I mean, you could do that. But a great example that the guy had made up, Tom, was movie trailers. And if, let's say, so a studio owns the content, a movie, they own the content in a movie, they own the content in a trailer. So there's a lot of channels that re-upload trailers, right? And they put their logos on the, like, oh, subscribe to whatever. There are some channels on YouTube that have millions of subscribers and all they upload is movie trailers.
Right.
It's kind of funny that they're doing this, but technically they could be sued. But why aren't they being sued? Because it's free advertising for these giant studios. So it's in their best interest to release the trailer, lose out on a few thousand dollars a month, and then, you know, friggin' make the movie. And then there's an additional 30 million people that know about the movie because it, you know, went trending on YouTube.
Right.
So there's a lot of, I think the law is confusing because some people are okay with it and others aren't, but it's hard to know if someone's going to be okay with it or not.
Well, really, really the biggest issue with copyright is probably music. You know, the slightest bit of some music that you didn't get permission for all the people that ever contributed to any portion of that music track.
Yes, exactly.
It's really in depth and it's a lot of permissions you have to get. And the copyright length is so absurdly long that it's really hard to make anything really work.
I've only copyright striked one video in my entire career, and it was actually a video that one
got copyright striked or copyright.
No, I copyright striked somebody. I made a video years ago with some friends, and it got a lot of views on YouTube, but it got deleted when my channel was hacked. And a huge channel with 2 million subscribers re-uploaded the video. And I got word of it. And I wasn't credited anything. And I was the producer, the editor. I did everything. I just didn't voice act in the video. So I sent in a copyright strike to YouTube, and the video got taken down and his channel got a strike. And there was a huge battle with that. Not anything legal, but we were going back and forth until we came to an agreement. I would take the strike off his channel if he deleted the video. And that's what happened. And he hasn't uploaded anything again because his channel technically still has that one strike on his channel. And if he gets two more strikes, bye-bye to 2 million subscribers. And
I'm sure he's had other copyright strikes than before. I'm sure he didn't exclusively do it with your video.
I used to play Minecraft with this guy, so I know who he is. I know what his name is, everything. I know where he lives. I know everything about him.
Wow.
I was just trying to be, you know, I didn't want to, because this guy's kind of nutty, and I didn't want anything with lawyers or anything, because he's kind of a prick sometimes, and he knows that. He knows that. I say that to his face all the time. But yeah, that happened. And I haven't really talked to him in a long time, but he really pissed me off when he stole that video. So copyright, I don't know. Copyright's such a weird, it's such a weird kind of, you know, it's a weird thing because it's really hard to please everybody. Like, me being into film and video, I am an advocate for no copyright laws on music, because to license a song, it's expensive. Like, sometimes upwards of $50,000 to $100,000 per song. And for an independent filmmaker like myself, it's difficult to get that kind of capital for one song you might use 30 seconds of. So you get these big budget films like Avengers, and it's like they got $300 million budget. So what's $100,000? That's just a drop in a bucket.
Right.
But for an independent film, that's hard. So I'm one of the advocates for, okay, we really should redo the copyright law. But then at the same time, it's like, well, if I create something and I put a lot of time and effort into it, I really don't want someone to be able to steal it easily. So It's kind of one of those situations. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too, but it's hard. It's really hard, because would you rather have access to something like a lot of 60s, 70s and 80s songs would be coming into public domain in the next few years if the law was like 25 years you have access to copyright. And that's what Tom said in his videos. But then you have the whole thing where, well, you know, what if those artists rely on the money? Because there are some one-hit wonders, you know what I mean, that had a song, went popular in the 90s or whatever, and right, that you're kind of living off from it.
No matter what, someone's losing out, and that's just kind of the trouble of it.
Mm. So it's difficult. It just is. It's difficult. And it's hard. It really is. It's hard to figure this out. It's hard to solve copyright, because I feel like we've had this standard of copyright all the time. And you can't just go and tell someone, oh, hey, we're done. You know, we're changing shit around. It's just, you can't do that. So,
I mean, I feel like, well, there's a lot of music services that are, you're able to get the rights to music easily. Like, what's the one that you pulled our intro music from that you,
well, that's
you pay?
Free music.
Well, sure.
But, and that's music that's made by independent musicians that put their music on these websites like Epidemic Sound, I think is what it's called, and you pay a fee every month and you get access to use it on YouTube, but you can't use it for commercial use. You have to pay a lot more for commercial use, because if you're using it for commercial use, then obviously you have a budget and they want to cut in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's one service though that's very interesting, and it's called Artlist, and I really enjoy this. You pay $200 a year and you are able to use any song on the platform, which it's really good music, by the way. There's over like 10,000 songs on the platform, anywhere between cinematic music that would be in an Avengers film to guitar music or actual music. And some of it's very good, and you get to put it on anything, a commercial, a movie. And all you have to do is pay the $200 a year. And
that's a fair amount of money, but I guess if you're using it for commercial, that's pretty reasonable.
Purposes. It's very reasonable. And I had a subscription to it a couple years ago. My first podcast, the KarmaCast podcast, mm-hmm. that was a nostalgia shout out. And I used to have that, and we had our intro song from the art list, and I could use that on anything. And I just didn't renew it because, you know, I didn't use enough music on there to really have it be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ever have a production that comes up in the future, I will definitely get it again.
What then happens if you've subscribed to it, you use a song from it, you use that song for commercial use, then you unsubscribe from it, but that song still exists?
Nothing. It's fine. It's totally fine. You paid for it. You got the license. It's cleared.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And it's something to look at.
I think, you know, like how Spotify helped mend a lot of the music problems when the internet was starting. Services like Spotify, at least.
The problem with Spotify,
as an example. You know, music was, you buy CDs for a long time, or before that, you buy records, or, you know, however, whatever. And then the internet came along, and then people started pirating MP3s across to each other with music, and that's how people would get digital copies of it, and that's how you'd get your music for a little while. Obviously, people that own the rights to those musics, all the music and stuff, would not want people just pirating it and completely skipping over their chunk that they do deserve. And then services like Spotify or SoundCloud or YouTube came along, and that fixed a lot of it. People could get their music, they could get it on the computer, they wouldn't have to spend an absurd amount of money, or any money at all if it was one funded by ads, which most things are now. And that you know, helped a lot. But there's not anything that I really know of in the music space for copyright kind of deal for using it in independent films or in YouTube videos or in... It would be nice if a service could come along that could provide something like that and fill in the gap of where there's so much problems right now.
Well, the problem with Spotify in the beginning was a lot of artists, and even up until a few years ago, a lot of artists didn't like the idea because they were losing millions. One most notable was Taylor Swift. She is one of the biggest musicians in the world that makes popular new music. And her hundreds of millions of fans weren't allowed to listen to music on Pandora, Spotify, any streaming service for that matter, because she realized that she wasn't making any money. So Apple came in and gave her hundreds of millions of dollars to have her exclusively on Apple Music when they launched. And that was the first time that a lot of these artists, it wasn't just Taylor Swift, it was quite a few other ones. It was the first time that they were on these platforms. And the thing is, if an artist doesn't agree with being on a streaming service, they don't have to be on a streaming service. And it's kind of whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't care. And the fans have to suffer. And I think what really sucks is it's hard because back in the day, you had to buy a disc, a CD, or one of those old, I don't know, what do they call the squares, cassette. The rectangles? Cassettes. And they made their money off from those. You sold an entire album for $20, and that was that. Well, then these streaming services came along, and it's like $20 a month for everything. Every song that's popular is on these streaming services, and the artists make out dog shit. Like, seriously, most of the money is on YouTube streaming because ads on YouTube are more valuable than a subscription on Spotify.
Right.
But like, for instance, Spotify has been exposed for the low rates because you get a million streams on Spotify, it's about $1,000. You get a million streams on YouTube, it's about $10,000 to $30,000. That's a big difference. And a lot of this is obviously, it depends on the artist. A lot of newer artists like Post Malone probably have deals with these companies. But how do you, so for Brody, for instance, they had this thing at the end of every year where they show all the music you listen to. And Brody listens to a shit ton of music. So he's paying this flat fee, which is like $9.99 a month for Spotify Premium. How do you divvy that up with like the thousands of songs you're listening every year? it's less than what, like a penny per song?
Well, sure, but I mean, there's also a lot of people listening to it, so.
But that really doesn't make up the difference. It's really hard.
If you are a big-time musician, I mean, even if you're making diddly from each person, there's so many people listening. That it's
true.
You can still get exorbitantly wealthy like someone like Taylor Swift is, you know?
You really don't get wealthy from Spotify, the streaming services. A lot of these artists are, I mean, back in the day, they got wealthy off from cassette and
well, how is Post Malone
and CD
though?
Sales? He actually is in a lot of brands. Like, he's on commercials and stuff. He's very popular on social media. You know, a lot of these artists make their money from Instagram because there's a lot of money in influencers on Instagram. And a lot of these people will do these, like, you know, they'll get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to share something on their Instagram story. And it's like, I don't understand why there's so much money there, but there is. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But hey, I mean, we've been going for about an hour and 10 minutes, so this was a great conversation.
Yeah, I would say this has been a pretty decent podcast. If you agree,
send us an email.
Send us an email. That's really the one I'm going for. You always try to go for the Patreon, but I just want an email from you.
what's our email, Isaac?
Talkmumbles@gmail.com. I think
great.
I got that
Give
right.
Give this guy a round of applause.
Yeah, yeah. Talkmumbles@gmail.com.
So go there to send us an email. I think that's going to end up the podcast for today. If you did enjoy, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts because we really want to get some feedback. And
only if it's good feedback, though. I don't want any bad feedback.
There's just one review that I swear it was someone that went to our old high school, but the name on is like Gage Nelson is evil or something. And it's like a one star review. I thought it was someone and they denied it, and I actually believe them because they showed some sort of proof. But yeah, so like I said, if you did enjoy, like, subscribe, share with your friends, and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/middaymumbles. If you want to help support the show, send us an email, talkmumbles@gmail.com. And hey, we'll see you guys all next week, next Monday. But yeah, Brody, myself, and Isaac are signing off.
See you later.
See ya.
See ya.
Okay. Epic!